Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, you might find or feel like I'm skipping ahead a couple of Sundays, but I have a good reason for it. On the day of Pentecost, which is a few weeks from now, we are told that about 3,000 people heard Peter's message, came to faith, repented of their sins, and were baptized. And instantaneously, there was a church of 3,000 members. That's a few more than we have. There was no structure. There was no building. There were no canons, constitutions, or bylaws. There was no prayer book or catechism. Yet the church in that moment was born. And today's text tells us what happened next. They did not strike an organizational committee. They did not draft any protocols or write any liturgies. And the only semblance of a church council that they had were the 11 original apostles and one substitute who had been under Jesus' instruction for 3 years. But that early church seemed to know instinctively what was important, or perhaps it would be better to say, led by the Holy Spirit, that early church engaged in those things that would be most beneficial for their spiritual health and growth. Today, it is exceedingly rare to hear about those kinds of mass conversion events. Although periodically, we do hear about extraordinary spiritual awakenings. Apparently, in February, there were some students at a college in the States that after their normal chapel service decided to pray. And they kept praying, and they kept worshiping. And it went on for, what, almost 2 weeks, I think, before I think the organization of the college kind of said, excuse me, guys, we're college here. Maybe you should go back to class. But for 2 weeks straight, people were praying and worshiping, and people from all over the place came because of this. We don't hear about those things too often. Once in a while. So perhaps we can be forgiven for seeing Christian conversion primarily as an individual, personal event, and Christian life about one's personal walk with the Lord. But what is intriguing to me as I read the book of Acts is the emphasis on the communal life of Christians as they engage in what I like to think of as the fundamental spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. They seem to value togetherness more than isolation. I think COVID would have driven them crazy. We are told that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And I find myself fascinated by a little word in this text. They devoted themselves. Devotion strikes me as a word that carries a lot of emotional investment and weight. The dictionary uses words like loving and loyal when talking about devotion. And I find myself asking questions like, what am I devoted to, and what does that mean? It seems to me that those things or activities or relationships to which we are devoted are the things that we freely, willingly, eagerly, lovingly give time and attention and energy to. They are things which we prioritize, seeing them as somehow more important or valuable than other things in our lives. We are told that the early Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. So how do we translate that into this day and age? I'd like to suggest that when we talk about the apostles' teaching and how exactly we devote ourselves to it today, there are at least a couple of aspects to it. First of all, as Peter proclaimed his message on the first Pentecost, he was proclaiming a teaching grounded in the Hebrew Scriptures, but a teaching that would have been new to his listeners. I like to think that as people of God, we are engaged with the scriptures and we are on a lifelong learning curve. We can never sit back in a complacency which claims to know it all, because God continues to be revealed afresh in the Word of God. It is a learning which is not just about mastering a certain body of knowledge, but about continuing to integrate that knowledge into our hearts and lives. So we are devoting ourselves to the Apostles' teaching when we read the Word of God, a good commentary, or attend a Bible study, or read the reflections of a reputable author. And here we get a little hint at the second aspect of devoting ourselves to the Apostles' teaching. That it is the Apostles' teaching to which we are giving our attention, and not some other teaching. Already in the New Testament, there are warnings of people coming in and teaching contrary to the gospel proclaimed by the apostles. Today, priests in their ordination are called to diligently read and study the Holy Scriptures. And bishops are called, and I'm quoting here the order of service for the consecration of a bishop. They are called to be one with the apostles in proclaiming Christ's resurrection. What is taught is important, and we promise to hand on the apostles' teaching. The second thing that the early Christians devoted themselves to was fellowship. Now, I think we often have a very shallow notion of what fellowship is. The dictionary calls it a friendly association, especially with people who share one's interests. And much as I appreciate the coffee after church on Sunday, even though I never drink coffee, but anyway, you know, that sounds like the dictionary definition. Getting together and having a cup of coffee and saying, how are you doing? Or maybe having a lunch together like we did. The text, however, uses the Greek word koinonia. And koinonia is about much more than togetherness or even friendship. Koinonia is a divinely intimate, holy unity among believers that is expressed in every aspect of community life. It is a mutuality of caring that runs deeply through the Christian community and is grounded in our common life in Christ. So, fellowship is about more than just sharing a cup of coffee together. And the early Christians were devoted to koinonia. And that koinonia spilled over into the kind of generous sharing that the text also refers to. The Christian community looked after each other, looked out for each other, to the extent that the historian Josephus looked at them and rather scathingly said, see how those Christians love each other? Like, what's with that? Obviously, the world was not used to people actually loving each other and experiencing koinonia. Thirdly, they were devoted to the breaking of bread. Many scholars and church historians consider that to be a Eucharistic reference and suggest that in the early church, Eucharist was a frequent celebration. So we devote ourselves to the breaking of bread by making the Eucharist our chief liturgical celebration. And every time we celebrate, we receive Jesus as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. The fourth thing that the early community devoted themselves to was prayer. While we often tend to think about prayer as an individual activity, it is clearly about more than just personally connecting with Jesus. It is about bringing to God the concerns of the community and even the concerns of the world. We devote ourselves to prayer in our community intercessions, in our willingness to participate in the prayer chain or prayer ministry, and in our daily prayers as we remember before God the needs of our families, our church, and our world. We are told that the early Christian community gathered together day by day to do these things. This new life in Christ, which they celebrated corporately, was not just a pious add-on to their lives, but core to their understanding of who they had been called to be, the body of Christ. Now, I suspect that I would run into some opposition if I started suggesting that we should gather every evening for a potluck supper, some Bible study, the celebration of Eucharist, and a prayer meeting. No? Oh, okay. But when I read today's text, it does make me ask myself, how devoted am I to the things which grow my faith and strengthen my bonds with this particular community of faith? How generous am I with my time and resources? If devotion to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer were the fundamentals in that early church experience, what are the things that God might be calling me to make fundamental to my life as a Christian in this world in 2023? The Easter message says that we have been rescued from darkness and brought into the glorious light of Christ. And today's text talks a little bit about what that glorious life might look like. My prayer is that the Spirit of God would lead us day by day into the reality of that life. Amen.